This is Josh Sumby, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Drayton, North Dakota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson. I'll have your news and headlines for the day. And we begin with Harvest Hotline. Harvest Hotline sponsored by the North Dakota Mill Ag.
But overall, it's from what I'm hearing, it's not as bad as some folks had anticipated it might be with the additional, you know, moisture that we had and the dews and things like that and the fogs. But overall, you know, the crop is looking really good. Quality, I'm hearing, is very good. Oil content's anywhere from 42% up to 51% oil, which is extremely high in some cases. So very good quality so far.
And those recent rains also impacting sugar beet harvest. Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Association Executive Director Harrison Weber says while some areas have been slowed by the weather, harvest is still moving along.
You know, starting to get drawn out here a little bit. Sit here on, Tuesday the 21st. We are 80% done at American Crystal. Certainly have faced all kinds of challenges from a delayed harvest start with the excessive heat and then even a couple of frosty nights. And now Mother Nature's thrown us some unnecessary and unneeded moisture our way. And so all things are battling. And I think this last 20% here is going to be a little bit of a battle to get in for guys.
Areas lucky enough to avoid the rain are starting to finish or cross the finish line for their beet harvest.
There are growers down in the Moorhead, Hillsboro, and southern part of Crookston districts that, you know, are either seeing the light at the end of the tunnel or possibly caught up or done in some cases. You know, that northern Crookston to East Grand Forks and Drayton district, certainly a ways to go. Looking at some of the numbers here, you know, we have piling sites that are just 60% done. I see one 50% done, 53%, and so still a challenge up north, and obviously that's where the excessive moisture has continued here, and so we certainly are welcoming some sun and some wind and heat in the coming days.
And that's Harvest Hotline, sponsored by U.S. Custom Harvesters, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, the North Dakota Mill, and Amity Technology. The stalemate continues on Capitol Hill. The Senate voted 50-43 on a proposal to reopen the government until late November. That's far short of the 60 votes needed for passage. Another vote is expected to happen on Wednesday. The impact of the government shutdown is being seen in many ways. North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goring reports an issue with farmers who have an operating loan or a chattel loan through the Farm Service Agency.
They have FSA as one of those signatories on their checks, and when they're getting paid for grain and livestock that have been sold, they're trying to put that money in the bank and pay creditors, and they can't get anybody to sign off on it. I've had conversations with the secretary about it. She's been working on this for the last couple weeks. Yesterday she did get a hold of me and said that they expect to have that issue resolved today.
During the government shutdown in the first Trump administration, Goring said FSA staff were brought back on a temporary basis to sign those checks.
There's a lot of checks sitting on behind a magnet on somebody's fridge waiting to get them put into the bank and deal with creditors. When you already have this type of turmoil in your finances and then all of a sudden you have a hiccup like this, every day you're paying on interest on that debt. Your creditors, anything that you owe them, that's certainly accumulating more interest. And if this goes on much longer and all of a sudden you're late on payments, you know, could it affect your credit? And what type of implications or ramifications could there be?
Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will soon release new dietary guidelines. There are reports Kennedy will promote the consumption of more foods high in saturated fats. RFK is saying foods like red meat, butter, and cheese have been unfairly demonized. The dietary guidelines are updated every 5 years. The current recommendation limits recommended saturated fat consumption to 10% of their daily calories. And the Senate Ag Committee unanimously passed the Grain Standards Reauthorization Bill this morning. The bill would extend USDA's grain grading and inspection authority through the 2030 fiscal year. The U.S. cattle industry has an online call to action underway, urging producers to contact their lawmakers. President Trump's plan to import more Argentinian beef is the main issue. Argentina already sells far more beef in the U.S. than the United States can sell into Argentina. Argentina's history of foot and mouth disease was also cited as a concern. The United States Cattlemen's Association released a statement saying it supports President Trump's American First agenda. However, it's against any market manipulation that weakens the industry's foundation and undermines rural America. In a statement, the National Farmers Union said the farm economy is facing great uncertainty, but the answer is not foreign beef. You are listening to the Red River Farm Network. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Bolt Marketing Market Analyst Dwayne Bussey says the cattle markets are still recovering from Friday's rundown, while also factoring in the potential of overseas beef coming into the U.S.
The market's up trying to reverse some of that, but we're still getting some of that negative social media talk. Secretary Rollins was on the television this morning. She was talking about later this week unrolling some sort of package that's going to bring more overseas beef back into the U.S. to try to lower beef prices. So there's still those comments out there that make me a little bit nervous for our producers and feel like, maybe we should have hedges in place, protect this very high price we've got. There's no action that will just reverse supply and demand instantly in the U.S., but I don't like having social media posts like that out there. So let's protect the nice profit we've got.
There are many factors to consider when thinking about heifer retention. NDSU Extension Livestock System Specialist Carl Hoppe says even with such high cattle prices, selling cattle off might not be the best way to go.
High cattle prices, it sure is tempting to sell everybody, but you know, you need to keep back 15 to 20% of your calf crop as heifers, just as replacements for your cow herd into the future. At least 15 to 20% is needed just to maintain your cow herd numbers.
And Hoppe says while retaining heifers is important for maintaining the herd, especially when other cattle might need to be sold off.
Just because there's always going to be a few cows that you have to sell because they're old or lame or didn't breed or failed to have a live calf at calving time, there's always a number of cows that will lose from the herd. We don't necessarily lose the profit on them, but we definitely need to replace those animals to maintain the number of cows in our cow herds.
Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins used social media to provide an update on New World screwworm. USDA has staff on the ground in Mexico monitoring 350 collection sites in affected areas. Testing is also being done in three states on the U.S.-Mexican border. USDA has confirmed nearly 7,900 cases in southern Mexico, 800 new cases since October 2nd. Rollins called New World screwworm a national security threat. And the National Cattlemen's Beef Association has responded to President Trump's plan to import Argentine beef to lower consumer beef prices. NCBA CEO Colin Woodall says his organization is concerned.
But probably more importantly, we are just flat disappointed that this is the approach that the president has taken. We understand what he is trying to do, but what he does not realize is that in trying to bring the price of beef down for the consumer, it means he's going to bring down the price being paid for cattle for U.S. producers. So in effect, this is a direct attack on U.S. cattle producers.
Woodall said Trump's plan only creates chaos.
Any offhanded comment, as innocuous as they may think that it is, can have huge ramifications on the marketplace. And we saw that on Friday when the futures markets just absolutely crashed. And that cost this industry and a lot of cattle producers a lot of money. And for nothing more than just a passing comment on a plan that wasn't even fully formed. And that is unfortunate that this is not just about what could happen to us financially if the president moves forward with this plan, but what has already hit us as cattle producers just simply because of his comments.
The NCBA supports letting the market work rather than accepting government intervention. Kleist Commodities owner Al Kleist says the grains markets are seeing some correcting from yesterday's higher finish.
It's a correction from yesterday somewhat, and then also you have favorable weather in South America. The lower global wheat prices putting wheat under pressure. Some days it feels like dominoes. First you tip the wheat over, then you tip the corn over, then eventually soybeans tip over. So the day's not over.
Unless a deal can be made with China, President Trump warned tariffs of 155% will begin on November 1st. Trump will meet his Chinese counterpart during the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit in South Korea. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. While many ranchers are taking advantage of high cattle prices and selling off their cattle, SDSU Extension cow-calf field specialist Taylor Grussing says high calf prices should also have ranchers considering purchasing pregnant females.
So with the good cattle prices right now, we could be looking at, you know, selling off more of the cow herd, whether it's to, you know, sell the older ones. And maybe retain some heifers is kind of the normal path that producers will maybe usually take. But with some of those calf values being very good as well, if folks don't want to retain those heifer calves and would rather sell them right now, another way to add bred cows back into the herd would be to purchase those pregnant females from another operation.
Grussing says there are other options.
A couple of things that people could look at doing would be buying pregnant cows that fit into a different calving window than they normally would do, and to capitalize on some resources that are underutilized during certain parts of the calving season. And then another option could be for folks to possibly even purchase like another class of animals, such as if they have a seed stock herd, they could look at purchasing some crossbred animals that could rotate into a crossbred system and then have those calves available for market come next fall, and rather than having to wait a whole nother season to develop a replacement heifer, get her pregnant, and then have the calves available in 2 years.
Checking the calendar for some upcoming events, the National FFA Convention in Indianapolis here at next week. Stay tuned for live coverage from that here on the Red River Farm Network. AgriGrowth Fall Summit in St. Louis Park, Minnesota on October 30th. The Canola Wheat Outlook and International Durham Forum in Minot, North Dakota, November 5th and 6th. And the North Dakota FFA Foundation Blue and Gold Gala in Fargo on November 8th. Checking the numbers for you now, December wheat Minneapolis is 3 cents lower at 5.45 and a half. December wheat Chicago 4 and a half lower at $5 and a quarter. KC hard red winter wheat's down a nickel to 4.85. December corn 4 cents lower at 4.19 and a half. November soybeans 2 and a quarter down, sitting at 10.29 and a half. November canola in Winnipeg's $2.40 per metric ton lower to 6.13 Canadian. On the cattle side, October live cattle are 207 higher to 243.92. October feeders are up 60 cents at 373.55. December hogs, $1.57 higher, 83.65. This is the Red River Farm Network.